happy that you're here, but we have to be very careful of modern technology, that it doesn't add to the problem which we all have, that is to pull us away from what is happening right now. Very happy that you're here, but we have to be very careful of modern technology, that it doesn't add to the problem which we all have, that is to pull us away from what is happening right now and just space out into the virtual space. I also want to encourage you, as those who take part in this internet broadcast, to not really do a million of other things and just have this on the side. No, please concentrate. Please be with us. Please be focused in the moment. Don't spray your life out over so many activities and so on. See, when we have these international broadcasts, and I'm now talking to my crew of three devotees here, it will only be good if what we are doing is good. If it is not a show for an audience which is somewhere else, it must be, we must worship and then pull the devotees into our own worship of Radha and Krishna. It's not that we are now playing TV. No, we are worshipping Krishna. It's very important for me to say, and it's important for you to hear, that we want to do these broadcasts with devotional sincerity and not modern ideas of you know, in our mind. Good. So I hope that now telephones won't ring here, and everyone will run out when the telephone rings. Let them ring for some time. They will always ring. So I would like to start today with speaking about our little angel, my secretary Sadanandi Dasi, whom we brought yesterday, or whose dead body was brought yesterday into the crematorium called Peaceful Life, Ruheleben, and there we had a little ceremony for her. We first had a wonderful ceremony as she was lying in her coffin. And the devotees who dressed her properly and who put tilak onto her body all told two things. The first thing is they really understood Sadanandi is no longer here. The second thing is that even while dealing with the lifeless body of a devotee who had dedicated a life to Krishna, they felt there was a special atmosphere around this otherwise quite shocking thing. They felt that it's special. And you know, also these two people who worked in the crematorium, after they had done their official part and gone with us through the procedures, they spoke privately to the devotees, and they said she looked really extraordinarily beautiful. And I believe this beauty in the life of a devotee is because Krishna is there in the heart, or was in the heart. We all know from Krishna Leela that all those who had contact with Krishna, even with not the right motives, because they were touched by Krishna, even when they had left their body smelled beautiful, looked just beautiful. No? So, let me start to read a poem which has a special history. See, I used to type, used to develop different seminars, which I gave all over Europe. And one seminar, and Sadhanandi would help me by typing the seminars, researching verses, and also giving suggestions and so on. And once I had the seminar called "There Is No Death." There are video cassettes of this available. It was given in German language and a few times in English. After typing it, Sadhanandi came to me for secretarial work. You know, there's this question, there's that question to be solved. And suddenly she stopped. In her innocent way, she asked, "I've just done your seminar, There's No Death, and I have a request. Will you write a poem for me? When I have gone and sent this poem to everyone who is dear to me." I was shocked at that time. "Do you intend to, do you think you will die soon?" And then Sadhanandi just came out of her usual mood and she said, "We live in the world of birth and death, isn't it?" So, 2 days ago, with lots of pain in my heart, I had to write this poem, because Sadhanandi left us, as most of those who see this broadcast know, under auspicious circumstances in the midst of kirtan. So I remembered and sat down wrote this poem. I wrote this poem from the perspective which Sadhanandi might have now. And I will say to you what Sadhanandi would say to you. It's my prayer that she will be pleased and you will be encouraged in your Krishna consciousness. "Don't cry. If you see me on the day of my death, laying with a pale face in the cold coffin, then don't cry. Do you cry when the shell of an oyster breaks and the pearl inside rolls free? Do you lament when the great struggle is finally over and the beautiful butterfly leaves the dead cocoon? This is only one of the evenings of my life, where the sun has set in the west. Somewhere it will rise again, announcing the dawn of a new birthday. Maybe I've even joined the dance divine on the sandy banks of the Jamuna River in the world of no more death." Don't cry. When can we deal with life and the difficult moments in life in a way when we are unagitated and undisturbed? This is the subject of my lecture this evening. How can we keep our peace in stressful and even difficult times? My dear devotees, my dear listeners, my dear audience, there's only one place where there is peace. You can go all over this universe looking for peace. You will not find it. That one place is at the safe lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Once there was a yogi who looked for an ideal place for meditation. So he went to the mountains, but then he noticed that around him the trees were felled. It's loud, noisy. So he left and went higher into the mountains. Then he set for a place to meditation and a fly was coming. So he left even higher. But as he sat down, the birds, not tolerating the newcomer, made a loud concert. Finally he went so high and found an idyllic place, but when he tried to meditate, he heard the sound of a river. And then he finally decided to hang himself. There is no peaceful place in the world. What the yogi didn't know is that the source of his unrest and peace was his own disturbed mind, who was upset by the modes of passion and ignorance. The modes of passion and ignorance only recede means they go back in the background. The moment you bring in a lively personality. This lively personality is the holy name who inside bears the wonderful inside of his heart, bears the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. To explain it a little bit more clearer, as you chant the holy name, you have to also think of Krishna and his pastimes. And I want to use the remainder of this class to show you what this could mean. I want to go to a work which was introduced during one of our retreats, the Krishna Lila Stava. It's a wonderful rendition of a very rare meditational guideline. It is said that for a long time the devotees looked for this book but couldn't find it. They knew Sanatana Goswami had written it based on the Srimad Bhagavatam, but it was lost. So one day this one devotee went to the river Jamuna. He was a researcher, a scholar of Vaishnava texts, and he saw coming down the Yamuna a bundle, a red bundle, which contained something he didn't know. So he went into the Yamuna, caught this red bundle and opened it. When he opened it, there was the Krishna Lila Stava of Sanatana Goswami. It's a wonderful meditation, and I would like to start by reading to you a beautiful, beautiful meditation which I think you will like very much. It describes Krishna as he stands in the forest of Vrindavan. It's a prayer to him. O Krishna, you have your lotus face tilted and one butt-like foot crossed over the other. And your eyebrows and eye corners are dancing. You expertly play your flute. Let us think about this picture. Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan, with his one foot across the other, and as he plays his flute, his eyebrows are dancing. I don't know if you have ever seen a good dancer or a good musician. If he wants to impress you, he will move his eyebrows. So Krishna moves his eyebrows and his eye corners as he expertly plays his flute. He wants to awaken all the sleeping, everyone who sleeps to life. We know that the rivers will start to rush, the clouds will start to pour tears of ecstasy down. The lifeless creatures will come to life, so much so that the dead stones even melt. Krishna, with his attractive nature, wants to also awaken us to life, to spiritual life. How Krishna does this is really by his attraction, which he throws in the direction of all the souls. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is such a soul who has been totally awakened, and he says something. I will ask our cinema devotees now to focus on Kanayalal, and you can now look at this Krishna meditation from a direct point of relation. Krishna rested his left cheek on his left shoulder in order to play the vibrato in the ascending and descending modes of the ragas. At that time, Krishna placed his right shank over his left shank to assume a charming threefold bending form, which enchanted the three worlds. Krishna tilted his neck, rested the flute on his lower lip, and made his eyebrows dance to attract the attention of Subal and others to the skillfulness of his songs. How do you like my song? What type of flute was it? Well, Krishna's flute was equipped with seven holes, which were covered by Krishna's fingers. Maybe I can ask Gaurahari to show you Krishna's flute so that you know what it is. Please give it to me.
Oh, there is the big one.
When I ask Gaurahari for Krishna's flute, he only has our Krishna's deities in mind. Radha Kanayalal. This is Krishna's beautiful flute. It is from Radha Syam Sunda. And there are seven holes in it. Yes, correct. Seven. Wonderful. This is an authentic flute. Now it is said, because Krishna never works hard, Krishna in Vrindavan has many servants. When he covered the holes of the flute with his soft fingers, then usually they should have had the impressions of the holes in the fingers. But not so in this case, because Krishna, by playing his flute so much, had developed a little harder portion on his fingertips. He was not as soft in his fingertips as he was in all the other parts of the body. But Krishna's body is so soft that even when only a small little leaf falls on his arm or on his chest, it will leave an impression for some time. You can see. So, I don't know if you're very excited with this flute in the head. I think we should put it back. Maybe you will put it back in Kanayala's hands. So this is something about Krishna
and his flute play.
Vishvamohana rupam tam siddha shri kamavadhanam vanchitrayita shesha vrajaranya pashu vrajan. O Krishna,
I offer my respects to you whose beautiful form enchants the whole universe. You arouse desires in the wives of the siddhas. When Krishna plays his flute in the siddhas, wife, these are perfected beings, fly with their airplanes over the spot where Krishna stands. Then the wives of the siddha become so attracted to Krishna that their whole bodies move in such a way that their garments become loosened. And they are afraid, what will their husbands think? But their husbands have the same dilemma. They listen to the song of Krishna and they feel so moved that they almost fall out of the sky onto the ground, crash! This is a sign that Krishna really is all attractive, because even the perfected beings, that is what Sanatana Goswami expresses here, cannot withhold themselves and become attracted. What to speak with all the rest of the universe? And you stun all the animals of the Vrindavan forest, leaving them standing like figures in a painting. Why is this happening? Well, you must know that Krishna, when he works his magic of attraction, always uses one particular taste which comes to your heart. It's the Adbhuta rasa, a rasa which is totally unheard, it is beyond the modes of nature, beyond the elements, it's Adbhuta. This is wonderful and amazing, astonishing. Krishna comes in your life, you will always be astonished. It's different than you ever thought. And then Sanatana Goswami paints this picture. The animals can't move. Also the currents of the streams which are moving stop flowing. And sweet juice rains from the trees and the creepers. Let us look at this meditational picture. The currents stop because Krishna, while playing, calls his cows Kalindi, Hansi, Ganga, Saraswati. And it's so amazing how Krishna puts in this flute song, this calling. You know, when you want to describe Krishna's flute song perfectly, you always have to say it's not entertainment music, it's calling you. The Lord is calling each one of us. And it is described in the scriptures that the devotee who chants the Gayatri Mantra, the calm Gayatri Mantra, he will feel, while he chants this mantra, called to the pastimes of Krishna. If you chant it on time and with proper concentration and so on, you will feel attracted. And then there are the trees with the creepers. They are like husband and wife who greet the sound of the Sankirtan party. When you are in Bengal and you go on Sankirtan through the villages, husband and wife come out of their houses to greet together the sound of the Sankirtan party. So when Krishna plays his transcendental flute, the trees and the creepers all move. They feel like we greet Krishna together. You make the swans and the other waterfowl, these are birds of the water, come to your side. You know, there are the swans and the, we call them here in Germany, Blesshüder. Beep, 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 they make. They live on the lake. And so when Krishna comes, these lake birds all leave the lake and they come out of the lake. They stand next to Krishna on the side. They feel caught, as I explained, huh? And the cloud serves you as an umbrella. This is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I hope I can find it. It's in the 25th chapter. 35th chapter. Yes. It says, when Krishna is enjoying himself with Balaram on the mountain slopes, wearing a flower garland on the top of his head, he engladdens all with the resonant vibrations of his flute. Thus he delights the entire world. At that time, the nearby cloud, afraid of offending a great personality, thunders very gently in accompaniment. You know, the clouds don't want to make loud noise to not disturb Krishna. So they go in the rhythm of the flute sound. And the cloud showers flowers unto his dear friend Krishna and shades him from the sun like an umbrella. The cloud has a friendly bhava to Krishna. He thinks, Krishna, you are just like us, therefore we are friends. We come and relieve people's miseries in the summer by pouring water on them, and you come and you relieve people's miseries by using your all-attractiveness to call them. And then Krishna responds to the clouds, very good, very good. And he looks at the clouds and he plays some tune in response to the clouds' feelings. And then the clouds become just more inclined for service, so that they build an umbrella of a cloud umbrella over him. I think what we secretly need to look for is a response of Krishna in our lives, because this response which we get from Krishna will make us more enthusiastic to serve Krishna more. If we never feel Krishna's presence in our life, if our hearts remain closed to Krishna, our service will be stressed after some time. But if we feel it, or if we serve Krishna with a response to his mercy, oh Krishna, you are so merciful. At that time, our service will flow from us voluntarily, energetically and lovingly. So I always encourage devotees to look for a response of Krishna at the right spot. The place where Krishna will respond to us, how would you say, in the most easy way is when you sit with devotees in kirtan and you direct your singing away from the world and to Krishna, you will often feel a response in Krishna, in your heart. It may be not so dramatic that you feel Krishna has given you a certain answer, but usually the way Krishna responds to a devotee is by increasing his longing and his eagerness. If you have longing and eagerness in your heart, know that Krishna responds to your prayers. He has made you finally, he has brought you finally on the path which leads back to him. The path of eagerness for Krishna has led you there. Sanatana Goswami says, your flute song is beyond the power of Brahma and the other demigods to fathom. You know, the demigods, they have seen many things. But when they hear Krishna's flute song, they think, how can he play such flute? And they leave their high positions in the heavenly planets, come to Braj to just be there and listen to Krishna, especially as he comes home in the Ushtaragosta time. And they then flank the road, they stand left and right from the road, there's Brahma and Shiva, to greet Krishna, to fall down before his lotus feet in admiration of his enchanting potency. Your glances deliver Cupid, whomever you see. That's something very interesting. Have you ever looked into the eyes of a loving child? At that moment when the child looks to you with love, or have you ever looked in the eyes of a loving, let us say, cow? If your heart is not made of stone, you will see how love is arisen in your own heart towards that person. So when Krishna looks at us, we feel some love of Krishna coming. I especially experience this in terms of our wonderful deities, Shishi Radha Kanaya Lal, who conquer with their beauty. My dear devotees, bathe your eyes in the beauty of Krishna. Allow Krishna, beautiful Krishna, to attract you. And you will see that your love for Krishna will come as you look at him. Your feet relieve the earth of her suffering. And you make young women stand just like trees. It's, you know, when Krishna is up to 5 years old, his feet are not yet showing so many signs. But when he crosses the barrier of 5 years and he turns into his 6 years, there's so many signs on his feet. And with these feet he walks over Mother Earth. That's what it's described. That when the cows walk over Mother Earth and eat the grass, it really looks a little bit like a desert. You know, there's so millions of Krishna's cows and goats. It's all free, but the moment Krishna touches this area with his lotus feet, new grass begins to grow. All same. What a relief for Mother Earth to be touched by Krishna's lotus feet. Sukadeva Goswami says, the earth is relief, but the young, beautiful gopis are not relieved. Instead, they're just like trees. They are very upset when will Krishna come home to the village of Vrindavan? When will we see him? He's now out playing his flute. And in this way, Krishna, the great flute player, both his devotees told him through feelings of separation. Hrita Chitta Vrigi, this is what Krishna always does. Krishna steals the hearts of his devotees. And here, Sanatana Goswami speaks of the hearts of the does. Does means female deer. And at the end of the day, Krishna seems to be beautified by fatigue. He's so lazy walking down, so tired. Bathing in the Yamuna makes your body very attractive. Krishna goes in the Yamuna. I think that's necessary because he's so lazy and he is flushed like the Baduri fruit. His eyes roll slightly back and forth. His face looks like the moon, the lord of the night. In other words, this means he's a little tired. And he doesn't dance very fast any longer. He just moves very slowly like an elephant. Have you seen an elephant? How almost like, we say in German, like in Zeitlupe? You know, I don't know, it's called delayed time. You know, sometimes you can make a movie and then they make the movie roll very slowly and everyone moves really slowly, so Krishna moves like an elephant. But then he takes his bath in the Yamuna and everything changes again. And he becomes worshipped by the pleasant wind. Brahma and other demigods honor your feet. O Lord, who increases the bliss of your friends, your restless eyes glow with joy and your lotus face appears very happy. Just imagine Krishna's restless eyes which glow with joy. We do know that when Krishna plays his flute, he calls different living entities. Amongst them, he calls also the beautiful gopis. And anticipating meeting with the gopis, his restless eyes begin to glow with joy. And his lotus feet appear so very happy. Oh, your body is encircled by a garland of forest flowers. This is the last verse. Your body is encircled by a garland of forest flowers. Sanatana Goswami doesn't mention this, but this garland is very dusty. This is amazing because Krishna's body himself is very glossy, it's shiny. Why is the garland dusty and the body of Krishna glossy or shiny? Well, let's start with a simple question. Krishna is not covered by dust because there are these best of servants like Raktak and Patak who are having very soft silken cloth and who always wipe the body of Krishna so that it remains shining. But they don't wipe the garland of Krishna. What they have is, I have told this many times in Vrindavan, they have a damp cloth with a new garland. But Krishna doesn't want to see the new garland. He wants to keep his old garland because the old garland was made by Radharani and carries the fragrance of her beautiful fingers. And therefore Krishna is attached and his servants don't dare to touch that garland because maybe they will hurt the flowers and the flowers would break maybe or become. This is some problem. Your beautiful gait, like that of the king of elephants. You delight your mother, to whom the young gopis told your glories. Please protect me. So the mother of Krishna waits at home for Krishna to come. And the gopis who have sent a particular tall gopi on the watchtower, just for increased heights, the gopi who is most tallest has been chosen. And she sees Krishna coming, and she also reports to Mother Yashoda, your boy is coming. He is worshipped by Brahma and Shiva, so he is just a little delayed, but wait, he is soon coming. But Sanatana Goswami answers and ends by saying, Pahimam, please protect me. And then he says, in this way, the 76th obeisances is finished to Krishna. Please protect me, Krishna, please protect me. This is also what Mahaprabhu constantly prayed. What type of protections do the great devotees want from Krishna? What is the danger they want to be protected from? And how do they want to be protected? It's like this. Sanatana Goswami wants one particular protection for Krishna, that is to always envision his beautiful pastime in the heart. Because if you have Krishna's lotus feet, you are peaceful and happy in your spiritual life. But as we said, if you don't have remembrance of Krishna, even when you are in the forest, in the Himalayas, you will remain peaceless. I want to end with another slide, another point, this wanting protection of Krishna. I feel it is a very important thing. There are different things the devotees want to be protected from. One is, as I told, they want to have a constant memory of Krishna. They feel their life is wasted when they can't think of Krishna. I could see this yesterday. You know, when you go into a crematorium, there is a lot of grief in the walls. And people were just started crying as they stood before the open coffin to say goodbye to Saranandi. There were many people, devotees, non-devotees, friends. You know, it was amazing. They all came together. I had been on a festival called Future of the Earth, and one girl came to me and said, do you know Saranandi? Saranandi had left her body by that time already. I said, why are you asking? But Saranandi gave me my first book and always preached to me. And then I said, if you want to see Saranandi's body for the last time, come with us to the crematorium. She said, oh yes, all right. Really? And she was shocked and then stayed the whole day in the castle. She was affected. So, but as I said, there were many people, but as you know, they entered this room, they were crying. I have received an email from a wonderful devotee today who was first thinking she would not come to this event, and then she felt, I have to be there. I feel this is my duty towards Saranandi. She went into the bus, and the bus came by the crematorium, but in the last minute, she also could not find in her heart the courage to go into the crematorium. So, yes, it is intense. But then, I thought, well, let's start to make a kirtan. We have to make this atmosphere, a little spiritual, because everyone is naturally coming onto the platform of grieving because they understand the soul has left. So when we did the kirtan, the whole atmosphere changed, and even the relatives told us, "Whew, it was such a joyful festival, so serious at the same time, but so joyful, and we understood about eternal things." So I will now look at the wristwatch. Yes, there's one more point I would like to make, then I will end. I feel what we should pray for protection. And the greatest thing to be protected from is really our false egos. And the plans which we make in this false ego. As long as the false ego is ruling us, we will be insecure, we will be shocked, we will be easily unsettled. But when we can surrender, that more and more the problem goes. And we also will like to hear about Krishna as much as possible. There's an ancient story which I would like to use as an illustration. There was once Krishna doesn't like pride people. He always hides from pride people. So once there was a time when the mountains thought they were the most powerful entities on planet Earth. So God sent a little man who had a little it's not actually a hammer, it's something which has a spike, a little iron thing with a spike, and he began to dismantle the mountain. The mountain thought, "My God, we are reduced in our size by this small little instrument." Then the instrument thought, "Well, I'm the greatest, I have destroyed this powerful mountain." Yes, you know, God doesn't like proud people. So he sent the fire, and the fire melted the iron. And the fire became very proud, thinking that I have destroyed the iron pike which destroyed the most powerful mountain. I am the most strong. God doesn't like proud people, so he sent water which extinguished the fire. The water became proud and was removed by the wind which God sent. Then the wind became proud. Then the human beings built houses which were not affected by the wind. Then the human beings became so proud. We have mastered creation. But as you know by now, God doesn't like proud people. So he sent the human beings sickness. And after sickness had afflicted many human beings, the sickness became proud. God, who doesn't like proud things, sent death to the sickness, which is the end of everything. So one day death was moving around the planet, thinking there's no one, not even the mighty emperors, not even the strongest people, who can resist my strength. I am the strongest. Then God said to called death, said, "You can be strong as the non-devotees. But the devotees who chant my holy name, who remember me in their hearts, will even conquer you. They will, however, never think they have conquered you by their own strength. They always know they have conquered you by the mercy of the Holy Name, and the mercy of you, the mercy of myself. So I thought to tell you this little story, and if you still have a little time on Ekadasi and you want to use it in chanting, you can just join us now. We will, after 2 minutes, say goodbye to all of you and stop this emission, because we want to be as much as possible on time so that more and more devotees who like to hear about Krishna on Ekadasi and who like to chant can be with us. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. We wish to respect the time schedules of all of you with other things to do and who don't want to leave the broadcast, and I want to also respect the time schedules of our devotees here and Gaura Bhavan, who have done such wonderful service and now really need the evening to finish their sadhana, their rounds. I will request our TV person to just take camera and bring it to the lotus feet of Radha Kanhaiya Lal. I will say goodbye for the evening here, and may you become successful in your own spiritual life, and see you. And let me ask Gaura Hari, is it next Ekadashi?
Next Ekadashi, there will be the Kirtan retreat. We will be in Haradesh for the Kirtan retreat, but that will be the full Kirtan retreat, might be on Mayapur TV.
Yeah, next Ekadashi, we will not be here, we will be in Haradesh, I just hear, but our retreat will be most properly broadcast on Mayapur TV. So, wishing you all the best. Hare Krishna!